Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Listen, tomorrow is the Feast of Pentecost, and many Jews, many born-again Christians are going to be celebrating that around the... Right now, Jerusalem is just filled. That's one mandatory festival that the women and children is mandatory that they attend. And so just imagine over a million people, 2 million people flood all of that region, and they try to get down there where the Wailing Wall is, the Western Wall. They're trying to get down there. And little do they know that Jesus is coming. How many believe that he's coming back soon?
Yeah.
Amen. He's coming back soon. Hallelujah. Can you guys hear me from the speakers? Okay, amen. Amen. So we're going to teach on the Feast of Pentecost. Amen. So please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Here we go. If you have your cell phones, put them on the off or silent. Here we go. I've entitled this morning's message, The Feast of Pentecost. So tomorrow will be June 2nd, so you see it up there. But on the biblical calendar, it's Sivan 6, 5785. So from the day of creation, we've been around for 5,785 years so far, since creation. Amen. And Darwin and all of them heresies, you know, we were taught that, what's that one thing that they would teach us? Evolution. That we evolved from apes and monkeys. We may act like them. We sure don't look like them. Can I get an amen? So that was all a farce. Because the real biblical account is we've been around for 5,785 years. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus 23. And we're going to read verses 14 through 16. And then we're just going to have the Holy Spirit have his way. Amen? Here we go. And it reads, 3 times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall not eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I command you. And at the time appointed, in the month of Abib, for in it you came out of Egypt, none shall appear before me empty. Verse 16. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field. I want you to catch that for a moment. They celebrate still in Jerusalem today this ingathering, the first fruits of the harvest. They plant and they harvest. But what God was trying to show Israel was a foreshadow of what was to come. And so we are the generation that God is gathering now. We're the ingathering. So when the church, the ecclesia of the church, we're going to see this on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost fell, became the birth of the church. Okay, and so with that birth, we were the first fruits. We were the first ones to be born again, filled with the Holy Ghost of promise. So everything ties in to this gathering that they did way back in Exodus. It was a foreshadow of things to come. And so Pentecost, Shavuot, has many names in the Bible. Look at this. Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Harvest, the Latter First Fruits, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Shavuot. So right now, if we were still at the temple, there at Temple Beth Shalom, the rabbi and all of them, they're going to be celebrating the Feast of Shavuot. They don't call it Pentecost. But for us born-again believers, on Shavuot, God chose that feast day to pour out His Spirit. Whoo, thank you, God. How many are so blessed to know that? Amen. We are recipients of that grace that was poured out 2,000 years ago. And so we're going to read in a bit on the 120 that were up in that upper room. And so celebrated on the 15th day of, right after Passover, the 50th. There's 50 days. So remember we taught on the feast of Passover? Well, you count 50 days later, and then it becomes Shavuot, or Pentecost. Shavuot is traditionally, saints, a joyous time of giving thanks and presenting offerings for the new grain of summer. It's summer wheat, and it's in the harvest time in the nation of Israel. So they celebrate that. So let's look at this one more time. You're familiar with this already. These are the biblical holidays that God mentions in His Word. You have the spring feast, and then you got the fall feast. Well, in the spring feast was the first advent, meaning the first coming of Christ. The second advent is going to be His second coming. So, Passover, we celebrated on Nisan 15, and then unleavened bread, and then first fruits. But notice there's 50 days. 50 days later, then comes Pentecost. So tomorrow on the biblical calendar, it's Sivan 6. Never changes. Our Gregorian day will change, but not the biblical calendar. It's always going to be on Sivan 6. And that was the day that God chose to pour out the Holy Ghost. And so we all know the next greatest event. See, the first four has been fulfilled by Christ. So the next three have yet to be fulfilled. And the next biggest one is going to be trumpets. When God raptures the church out of her. We don't know what year, but we know what feast is going to take place. And then somewhere during Yom Kippur, we don't know what year, Jesus is going to put His feet on the Mount of Olives, according to Zechariah 14. And then tabernacles. Tabernacles is when God is going to start the millennial reign for 1,000 years, and we're going to be with Him face to face. In other words, God's going to tabernacle with men. So right now, we're tabernacling with His Spirit. But during the Feast of Tabernacles in 1,000 years, we're going to see Jesus face to face. Because He's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. Woo, how many can't wait for that moment? There's not going to be no evil in the world. There's not going to be no chaos, no war. There's not going to be no famine. There's not going to be all the nonsense that's on television. Oh yes. There's not going to be drug addiction. Alcoholism. People addicted to porno. All that stuff is all going to be wiped away. And God's going to bring this place into perfect peace and harmony with God. This is what we're looking forward to. And so I look at this right now in our generation. Right now, it's an open window of grace. This is the school of hard knocks. We're learning. We're learning the things that God is teaching us. So when we get there, we will know something already. Can I get an amen? And so, let's look at the Feast of Weeks. It was another name that was given because God commanded the Jews in Leviticus 23 to count 7 full weeks, which was 49 days. This is the counting of the Omer. You probably never heard that word in a while, but Omer, 49 days. And then the 50th day is when the feast is celebrated. And so it was the beginning of the second day of Passover. Then the present offerings of new grain to the Lord as a lasting ordinance. Notice that there was always, God wanted a first fruits, a grain offering back then. So when the wheat was harvested, they would, the priest would offer up sheaves of wheat as a grain offering. Years later, 2,000 years ago, mankind was poured out with the Holy Ghost, and that was the first fruits of the new church age. The church age, the ecclesia of the church was birthed. And 2,000 years later, here we are. We're recipients of that grace. Look at this in Leviticus right here. We always need to go back to look ahead. Leviticus 23:15. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, the sheaves, seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days of the day after the seventh Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to where? To the Lord. So Shavuot was originally a festival for expressing thankfulness to the Lord for blessing the harvest. This is one thing that the Jews always did. They, everything that God gave them, they would bless it. They would be thankful for it. Oh, have you ever seen a Google satellite of Israel? Look at the countries that surround them, like Jordan, Syria is above, and Iraq is above, and down below is Gaza. When you look at Israel, it's all green and flourishing with life. And all the other areas, all the other countries, it's brown and dark and barren. It's like a desert. Why? Why? Because they don't believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so when you are born again, or you love God, the true and living God from the Bible, God will bless you. God will pour out upon you blessings. He will bless your family. He'll bless your life. He'll set people free. We prayed this morning, oh God, remember our loved ones and set them free. Because we are in that harvest time. Right now, it's the end gathering. God is gathering right now. And so Shavuot was a thankfulness to God. And because it occurred at the conclusion of the Passover, it acquired the name. Look at this name right here, the latter first fruits. The celebration is also tied to the giving of the Ten Commandments. Did you know that the Ten Commandments, when Moses went up to the mountain, on Mount Sinai, it was the Feast of Shavuot, known as Pentecost. So he was the first Pentecostal. No. But he brought down the Word of God on Shavuot. This is a unique biblical holiday, Pentecost, because the law came, and then the grace and the Holy Ghost came. Amen. Woo! Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so, the celebration is also tied to the giving of the Ten Commandments, and thus bears the name Matin Torah, or the giving of the law. And Jews believe that it was exactly at that time God gave the Torah to the people through Moses on Mount Sinai. Remember this? Yes, Moses. You see, the latter rain is God's great end time ministry. So the concept is revealed throughout the Word of God in the Bible. It comprises the restitution of the church to its rightful place. Praise God. The enormous last day revival is soon to come, and the harvest of souls before the great and terrible day of the Lord. So why are people being saved in our generation? He's saving those who would be saved before he pours out his wrath. And God's going to pour out his wrath upon all those who reject God, to those who reject the Lord. So it is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh that's promised to us in the last days, and the restoration of apostolic and prophetic gifts. That's what he promised us. Let's look at Acts 2:14. Let's look at this for a moment. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it was only the third hour of the day. This is during the feast of Shavuot. This was the upper room where Jesus is, go wait for the promise. And all the people down below that were celebrating the feast of Shavuot thought these men up there were drunk because they heard them speaking in tongues. Because the Holy Ghost was poured out. Look at this. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is the only third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Look at this. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my maidservants and on my men servants and maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Hallelujah. See, God's going to give you dreams and visions. Hallelujah. And one of the visions that God showed me, that God's going to raise up some wonderful men in this ministry to preach the gospel, to reach the lost at any cost. Can I get an amen? Look at this in verse 19. And I will show wonders in heaven and above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls, say that with me, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how many so blessed to know that God called us by our name? Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. He called us by our name. He did exactly that and called us. Jesus. Woo. The word of God is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Woo, we serve a mighty God, a wonderful God, a glorious God. Hallelujah. So let's look at this. Number one, Pentecost serves as a reminder that God grants his Holy Spirit to the first fruits of his spiritual harvest. Isn't that something? We're the first. 2,000 years ago was the ecclesia, the birth of the church. And God is still pouring out his Spirit. Can I get amen? Amen. 2,000 years later, he poured out on us. Aren't you so blessed he didn't let us go haywire and continue to run buck wild? Man, he put what do you call those cowboys that have he put a lasso on us and reeled us in. Can I get an amen? Saints, in the process of revealing his plan of salvation for mankind, God established his annual holy days around the harvest seasons in the middle of the East. So that's where he established all the seven feasts of the Lord. And it went around the world. And just as his people harvested their crops around these three festival seasons, God's holy days show us he is harvesting people for eternal life for the kingdom of God. Man. There's a spiritual harvest going on. Can I get an amen? Amen. The holy days have meanings that build upon each other. And together they progressively reveal how God works with humanity. Do you know that God wants to work with you? Yes. First of all, he wants to show you how much he loves you. Amen. And then once he establishes that relationship, now he wants to work with you. Amen. Hallelujah. And enable you, to strengthen you, to the call in your life. Because many of us in here are called by God. Amen. called by name. Whoo, thank you, God. How many are so blessed to know he called your name?
Amen.
Thank you, God. Ooh, thank you, God. Thank you for the anointing. So earlier this year, which was 50 days ago, we taught on Passover. Amen? Symbolizing Christ's giving of himself for us, for our sins, so that you and I could be forgiven. We also learned how the days of unleavened bread teach us that we must remove and avoid sin, whether in actions or attitudes. Then the third feast, remember Passover, unleavened bread, and then first fruits? The third feast was first fruits. Jesus was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. The next festival and holy day is Pentecost. And it builds on this important foundation. So let's look at this a little clearer, a little closer. Let's go here and look at this feast. Once again, the first three, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. Now we're celebrating Pentecost. Amen. But let me just say this. These have been fulfilled, so they are no longer dress rehearsals. The last three are still dress rehearsals. Because the Jews think it all ties in with Judaism. No. Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Yes. Say that with me. It's all about Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Look at this in Exodus 23:16. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field. So we see this in the Old Testament, and now we just seen this in the New Testament, that God is gathering souls right now. Praise God, praise God. Look at Numbers 28 here. Numbers 28:26. Also, on the day of first fruits, when you bring a new grain offering to the Lord at your feast of what? Weeks. So we're talking about Shavuot. And you shall have a holy convocation. Now, when you look at feast and convocation, first thing that comes to mind, if you're just kind of new to the Bible, you're thinking of hometown buffet. You're talking about Golden Corral. You're talking about places that, you know, that you're going to dine and feast somewhere. Okay? And then convocation, that's just going to go like this. Whoop. It'll go right over us. But if you look into the Hebrew definition, you'll see what it truly means. Those two words right there, feast and convocation. Let's look at this. The Hebrew word for feast is also called moed, meaning appointed times. These are God's appointments. And the Hebrew word for convocation is mikra, meaning a dress rehearsal. So for thousands of years, the Jews have been having these dress rehearsals, not knowing that these were dress rehearsals of the coming of the Lord for the first time and then his second coming. Praise God. Praise God. And you can't convince them because their eyes are blinded. They can't see. But for us, God's opened our eyes. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So similarly, in the New Testament, which was written in Greek, this festival is also known as this. Look at this. Pentecost in the original means what? 50. Remember back in the day when you played domino? 50. We used to call it 50. Huh? Yeah. Hit me with that 50. It's 50th. 50th. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, God. This was a foreshadow. A dress rehearsal of Jesus who sowed and labored in the field for 3.5 years. He sowed into their lives. 3.5 years before he went to the cross. Years of ministry and then was crucified on the feast of Passover. This was all ordained by his Father, that he would pick these days to do these extraordinary things for you and I. But they were all on his feast days. The Feast of Passover, buried during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then rose again on the Feast of First Fruits. 50 days later, Jesus pours out the Holy Ghost on the Feast of Pentecost. Woo! Thank you, God. Man, and we're recipients of that grace. Look at number two. The gift of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. Praise God. God chose the first Pentecost after Jesus' resurrection to pour out the Holy Ghost on 120 believers. And guess who else was in that group?
Mary.
That's right. Jesus' mom. She needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost too. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Did you know that she was not, let's make this clear, she was not sinless. None of them were. The sinless one was the Holy Spirit that overshadowed Mary. Then came the miraculous conception. Woo! But look at this. It's right here in the Word of God. In Acts 1:12. Look at this. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olive, or the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. This was not Judas Iscariot. Look at this. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. It says it right there in the Word. And with his brothers. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of his disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120. So God documents this. But what happened that day? Right here in the book of Acts. Acts 2, 1-4. Look at this. Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come. So we all know that Pentecost is Shavuot. Right? Shavuot. The Feast of Weeks. It's all the same name. Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And look at this. Then there were appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. Woo! Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Saints, these astounding events demonstrated the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. At first, the people of Jerusalem who witnessed this miraculous phenomenon were astonished, and with some attributing the actions of the Christians to drunkenness. But we know they weren't drunk. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I remember when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I was in tongues for about 3 hours. I couldn't stop. It just kept going. It kept going. And I was, man, I'm telling you, I felt like I was drunk, though. I never felt anything like it. And it was joy. I couldn't comprehend it. And that changed the total projection of my life. God took me to another plane with him. Another level with him. And you're never the same when you get filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Man, it's life-changing. It's altering. My son, Anthony, let me just share this real quick. We were attending North Park Apostolic Church. And you remember my son. He was little at the time. And so we were there for 7 years. So he was about maybe, I'm going to say 11, maybe 12 at the time. And throughout the whole time I was there, he would always sit behind me because the brothers had to sit in the front. So I was always look, and then, oh, here comes the preaching. And he would find his place on the floor and go to bed, go to sleep. It was like clockwork. Here comes Bishop Trout. I mean, Raymond Trout, not Joel. Bishop Trout's father. And then I turn, Anthony's on the floor. Yeah, he's sleeping. So this one event took place. An evangelist came. And I turned around, and my son was at the edge of his seat like this. And I kept turning around. He wasn't going down to go to sleep. And then he was given an altar call, and I looked. I go, oh, he finally fell down to go to sleep. And I looked to the left, and my son was standing right where you would walk up to the baptismal place. And people were all in there getting slain, getting delivered. It was like a deliverance service. Amen. And I turned, and my son walked up to the altar, and the evangelist said, what can I do for your son? He goes, I want to get saved. And so he laid hands on my son, Anthony, 13 years old. Bam! Holy Ghost fell on him. And for like 3.5, maybe 4 hours, Yolanda's my witness, we brought him home, and he was dad, couldn't stop. And then his room was right there, the first door to the left right here. And we just opened the door, and he was just, dad. I even had to call his mom. I said, listen to your son. And for 4.5 hours, he was never the same after that. Yeah, I called Patsy. I said, you got to listen to this. Yes. And we were all rejoicing that he got filled with the Holy Ghost. See, the initial is to believe and to receive God, and God seals you. But then God blesses you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so there's always going to be doctrinal issues. Oh, you're not saved because you didn't receive that. No, I squash that. Once you repent and get baptized, God saves you. He's got more for you now. Can I get amen? And when he chooses to give you the Holy Ghost, he's going to do it. Can I get amen? Because it's his set time, not ours. It's his set time. Oh, there's churches, man, that go, man, you haven't spoken in the tongue, you're not saved. I'd leave that place faster than a heartbeat. Tongues is a gift that God gives. And if he chooses to give it to you, the things we're talking about, he'll take you to that other place with him. But let him do it. Don't let man say, man, speak in tongue. Yeah, you got to speak in tongue. That's God. That's man trying to do that. That's false doctrine. That's why you have to be careful. You got to be careful where you go, where you do ministering. Because some of them will try to convince you, man, you don't speak in tongue, you ain't saved. That's a lie from the pit. That's a lie from the pit. Bible says, repent, be baptized. And you've done that part. He has washed you in his blood and you are his. Listen. My beautiful wife right here. And she had the fruits of the Spirit when I met her because she was saved already. But she didn't speak in nobody's tongue for 10 years. And then we got invited. It was, they were celebrating the Azusa Street Revival. 100 years that the outpouring was poured out in L.A. And throughout L.A., all the churches were celebrating the Azusa Street. We got 10 tickets. And I forgot they were on my desk. She comes to me and goes, are we going to this play? I go, what play? She goes, the fire still falls. She goes, I want to go. I go, oh, man, I forgot to tell anyone. So her and I went. We gave 8 seats away because there was a line trying to get in. And as soon as we walked in, the anointing of God was in there. And it was at the Los Angeles Coliseum. No, take that back. Not the Coliseum. It was where they would have boxing matches in L.A. Forum. Yes. So it was like an arena, and it had 3 levels, and it could hold maybe 10,000 people in there. Man, I'm telling you, they had baptismal pools in there, one on the floor, one in the second level, one on the third level, and they were baptizing people like the book of Acts. And I'll never forget, the MC came up. He says, "We got to stop the plague." He goes, "The Holy Ghost is falling right now. Those of you who want the gift," and I love what he said, "want the gift of the Holy Ghost, come down to this altar." Man, the whole place stopped. There must have been about 500 people rushing down to the altar. She grabbed my hand, and I go, "Where are we going?" She goes, "I want this." She goes, "I want this." And so she's leading me down to the altar, right? Because we were in the second level trying to get down. And the first person came up to her, got in her way, says, "You want the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues?" And she goes, "Yeah, that's what I'm here for." And he said, "Just lift up your hands and start praising him." And I was standing behind her. And there was a sea of people all around us. And I go, "Honey, how do you feel?" She goes, "Oh, I feel okay." And I said, "Okay, well, we're not at the altar yet." So that guy left, and so we kept going further. And then this one guy stood, and right in front of her, man, I was coveting his suit. Man, he had a suit that was like, "Wow, I love this suit." He goes, "Do you want the Holy Ghost?" She goes, "Yes." He goes, "Lift up your hands, open your mouth, and say nothing." And all he did was just touch her with his fingers. He didn't do this in the name of Jesus and try to break her neck. All he did was tap her. The Holy Ghost fell on her, and she was in tongues for over 3 hours. Da, 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 da. I was like, it was an oh my gosh moment for me. Hallelujah. It was like, what? And then they took us behind the stage. There was a big room back there, and all the people that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost was in there. They were just back there, man. People were just crying with tears, with joy. And one lady comes up there and goes, "Oh, welcome to the kingdom of God." And I said, "Listen, she's been saved. She's been saved for over 10 years. I go, "She got the gift tonight." And then she goes, okay. And she gave it. We were driving home from L.A. And I kept looking at her. I go, "Oh, my God." All the way home. Da, 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 da. She couldn't stop. It was flowing. Just flowing. Why am I sharing this? Because when we end today, those of you, I'm going to pray that God fill you. Hallelujah. That God fills you and touches you. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. We're going to lay hands. We're going to pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Thank you, God. How many believe we serve a mighty God? Thank you, God. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And so, the Apostle Peter, now filled with the Holy Spirit, boldly explained the event to the crowd as a fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. Look at this. This is found in Acts 2:17 and Joel 2:28. Same scripture. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." And Peter explained how this happens. "Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." Now, I just want you to catch this. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Doesn't mean you'll get it right then and there. It means somewhere down the road, he could give it to you right then and there. But for some people, he gives it to you later. She got it 10 years later after she got baptized. Did you know that? I don't know if you knew this, brother, but Raymond Trout, the founder of North Park, his wife didn't get the Holy Ghost until 15 years. So we don't know the time with God. All I know that when he's ready to give it to you, you'll know. You'll know without a shadow of a doubt that you got it. Because you'll tell everybody in your contacts. You'll call everyone. Guess what happened to me? It's overwhelming. You won't stop talking about it. Because it's life-changing. It's life-altering. And God does that. And he's just showing you his love and his grace and his mercy. And so, look at this. It's the law and God's grace at the same time. The law. The law was given on Shavuot. Look at this in Exodus 32. Right here, look at this. Now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them, to their shame among their enemies. Then Moses stood up in the entrance of the camp and said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. Look at this. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from entrance to the entrance throughout the camp. And let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." Look at this in verse 28. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Then Moses said, "Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, that he may bestow on you a blessing this day, for every man has opposed his son and his brother." Now, I want you to catch this. Before Moses, or when Moses brought down the Ten Commandments, remember they had backslidden down there? And some already were opposing Moses. Well, check this out. On the Feast of Pentecost, or Shavuot, 3,000 perished. 3,000 died. But in the New Testament, on the Feast of Pentecost, the same feast, look at this. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and about 3,000 souls were added to them. Did you catch that? So the law said you are to die, but here you are to live. Look at that. 3,000 perished. Right here, 3,000 got saved. Thank you, God. That was God's grace. You see, the people back then that rebelled, they didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit. So they were operating in their flesh. Anything angered them, and they would oppose anything. But here in the New Testament, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, oh, you become silly putty in his hand. God will move your neck wherever he wants to move it. Can I get an amen? And we allow him. Can I get an amen? Have your way, Lord. Have your way, God. Why? Because when we had it our way, we was all toe up from the flow up.
Yeah, we were.
And when he got a hold of us, he saved us, sanctified us, filled us with the Spirit of promise, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And now we can take instruction from him and know that it's good for us.
Yes.
He wants good for his people, for his kids. Thank you, God. Look at this. 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, meaning teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in what? Prayers, praise God. From this pivotal point, saints of God, God's Spirit has been available to all who truly repent and are properly baptized. The day or feast of Pentecost is an annual reminder, saints, that God poured out his Spirit to establish the church, which is called the ecclesia, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And so, question is this. Why we need God's Spirit? Why do we need God's Spirit? You know why? Because it helps us in our humanity. Can I get amen?
Amen.
The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Look where it's mentioned about that, what I just said in 1 Kings. 1 Kings 8:46. When they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin. Look what John 16 says, John 16, 8. When he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they do not believe in me. So the Holy Ghost had to come and convict us of our sin. And then Romans 3, 3, I just quoted that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we see that the Holy Ghost came to empower his church, to empower you and I, to live holy, to live righteously. Are we going to fail God? Yes. Are we going to come short? Yes. Are we going to slip and make mistakes? Yes. But God said that I have become your advocate. Amen. Jesus is our advocate. He's our attorney. Can I get an amen? Amen. He presents us blameless before the Father.
Thank you, Father.
And all you have to do is confess your sins. Amen. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't care what we've done, what you've said, what you said about one another. Just confess it to Jesus. Repent of it. And God washes it and he remembers it no more. Aren't you so blessed? He will cast your sins as far as the east is from the west, and then he buries it in the waters, hallelujah, deep waters where no one can get to it. He buries it and he remembers our sin no more. Thank you, God. Look what it says in Deuteronomy 5 right here. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that I might be well with them and with their children forever. And so this was God's initial promise to Adam and Eve, but they failed. So then God had to make a way. And that way was through Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus had to come. Hallelujah. And make a greater day, a better day for us. And now we can come together in the unity of the faith. Here God explains that the humankind has a heart problem. We have a heart problem. Academic knowledge of the law does not enable us to think like God. Becoming godly in our thoughts, attitudes, and actions is beyond the comprehension and ability of men and women without an additional ingredient, which is God's Spirit. We need his Spirit. Why? Why do we need his Spirit? And we're coming in for a close. Because of this. Jeremiah 17, 9. The heart. Say that with me. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. So let me just say this. We can't get away with anything before God. And even before we go and admonish someone, minister to someone, we need to know, God, make sure, oh God, that my heart is clean, that I'm coming with a pure mind, a pure heart. I'm not coming with no agenda. I don't want to make myself above them when I come to minister to them. See, God knows our heart. And so come with the right agenda. Come with the right attitude. Say, oh God, without you, I can't do these things. Without you, God, I am powerless. I need you. And he will bless you. He will bless you. Because what we have to learn is to love the Lord thy God right here. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Can we learn to do that, saints?
Yes.
You know, there's going to be people in your life that's going to double cross you, triple cross you. They're going to lie about you. They're going to mock you. They're going to talk behind your back. They're going to backstab you. They're going to do the OJs on you. Backstabbers. They're going to do all that. But are you willing to love them anyhow? Oh, that's tough. Back in the day, we didn't take that, did we? We go search them out. Yeah, we would. You think what? Yeah. And now we got to love them. We got to say, oh God, forgive them. If they only knew what I know, the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the presence of God. That alone should identify who God is in your life and how much they need God. They need Him, just like we need Him. And so, you know what? Job said it best. He said, God blessed me tenfold. You know how God, you remember everything was taken away from Job? His kids, his wealth, his health. Everything was taken away. But at the last chapter, he said, God bless him tenfold. You know why? Because he prayed for his friends. The ones that came and just mocked it, said, you must be in sin. They all came with a bad report, a false report. And he still prayed for them. And God said, I'm going to bless you because you prayed for your friends. What does God say to us today? Pray for those who deceitfully use you, mock you, lied about you. The ones that don't get it. There's people in our life, they just don't get it. I like what Pastor Art said. They haven't touched the wall yet. They haven't touched that wall yet. Give them grace. Give them time. Just imagine people who were praying for you when you was running buck wild. Running amok. We had no shame in our heart. And we could talk like a drunken sailor with the best of them. But God. See, the Holy Ghost is the power to raise us from the dead. Hallelujah. We were praying this morning about 9:15, 9:20. And I remember I said, oh God, raise up the dead things in our life. There's people in our life that are spiritually dead. There are things in our life that are dead that need to come back to life. Some of us struggle in health. So God, strengthen us. Heal us, oh God. There's people in our life that need to be saved. And we need to pray, God, give them a mind to be saved, a heart to repent. Have mercy, 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 mercy. Because he had mercy on us. Can I get an amen? Romans 8:10. We're coming in. We're coming in for a close. I don't get to teach this one but once a year. But it's a reminder. A reminder what God did on Shavuot. And tomorrow, you never know what he's going to do tomorrow. Tomorrow is the feast of Pentecost. Something miraculous may happen tomorrow. Things happen on his feast days. Sister Tammy had a vision. Woke her up this morning. She saw the marriage supper of the Lamb. And everybody was about ready to receive their bread. And people were already sitting down. You know what? That lets me know that we're almost out of here. We're almost out of here. And you know what I love? What's going to take place? He's not going to give us that memory or that burden of the ones that were left behind that we know. Because sin cannot enter in. He said he's going to wipe away every tear and every sorrow. And so, this is the time that we pray, we cry out for them. But when we get there, we will have no more. No more memory of that no more. We're going to be in our new body. Because no one up there is going to be crying for the loved ones down here no more. We're going to be there with him. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. This is our moment here to pray for one another, to lift one another, cry out to God for our friends, our family members, those that don't know God. Cry out that God would do the miraculous. in their life. Fast and pray. When was the last time you fasted and prayed for them? When was the last time you said, you know what, I'm not going to eat nothing today. I'm going to pray for them that they get saved. There's a lot of people that I know that need to be saved. You know them. They're in your life too. They need to be saved. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give to your mortal bodies, look at this, life to your mortal Bibles through the Spirit who dwells in you. Meaning, because we have the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, washed in the blood, baptized in Jesus' name, God is going to remove us from this earth, hallelujah, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And how many can't wait for that moment? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. It's going to happen soon and very soon. We will be with the King. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. And so the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. Do you know that God is at work in your life? Where's Brother Louie? Oh. Brother Marty. Just go back 2 years. Let me go back 3 years. I didn't know you back then. Would you ever thought you're going to be preaching God's word? That God was going to call you out of darkness into His marvelous light? That now God has you before Him, studying His word? Brother Louie, did you ever thought that? That God was going to call you to preach His word? Not. God revealed this to this church not too long ago. But God had a plan already, and He had a plan in motion. He already saw you preaching and teaching. I didn't see it. He did. If you would have told me back when I was 30 years old that I was going to be pastor in a church, I would have said, what are you smoking? What you smoking? But God is doing it. God is doing it. It's all Him. He's working mightily in our lives. The Holy Spirit's at work in our lives. Why? Because look at this right here. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of this earth. The coming of the Holy Spirit dramatically changed the lives of these early Christians. The book of Acts is filled with the accounts of the early church and the remarkable spiritual impact on the surrounding society during that time. A transformation was so evident that non-believers, they accused Christians of this, turning the world upside down. Brother Marty, Brother Louie, Deacon Angel, Brother Art, God wants you guys to turn your world upside down.
Man, that's right.
All those who thought that this could not be, it's baffling them right now. Mm-hmm. And to God be the glory. You give God all the glory. Give God all the praise. That's right. Because what God starts, He will complete it. What He starts, He will complete. And you guys are going to be up here preaching a whole 60-minute sermon. Thank you, God, to edify the body, to win souls. It's all about souls. It's all about souls. One of the things that really encouraged me was at the award show when Brandon Lake swept everything. And he came up there and said, God is sending me places to win souls. He said, I was in a dark place. He goes, there was wickedness all around me, and we preached the gospel. He said, 1,000 people got saved. Every time he went up there, it was all about souls, about the kingdom of God, that the gospel was preached. He didn't talk about an award he won. He was talking about souls being saved in the time that we live in.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And then he prayed for his friend. He said, and pray for Jelly, was it Jelly Roll or whatever it is? He could pray for him. Because God just began in him. He'll pray for that man. Pray for him. And let me just say this. God will open up supernatural doors where you walk in. And it may be a room of all unbelievers. And the anointing will come. And you will speak. And God will move. God will move in the midst. Because God wants to use you now. You're the only one that can, has the 2 feet and legs to carry the gospel where the sphere of influence. I need you to understand this. Every one of us in here has a sphere of influence. There's people around your life that I will never meet and they will never meet me. But you know who they are because they're around your life. And these are the people that God wants you to reach. Amen. He wants you to reach them. He wants you to be used by God and watch them be saved. And let me just say this. You lead someone to Christ, I don't care if it's 11 o'clock at night. Catherine didn't care. She called. And Geronimo and Vicky. We baptized them in that jacuzzi. God told me the other day, go clean out that jacuzzi because there's more souls coming.
Amen.
So it's nice and clean. And it's 85. Thank God. And God's going to do something mighty. God's going to do something mighty. Listen, God's not done doing this. Look at this. This is where, no, Brother Felipe sent me this. It was a crusade he was at. It was in Indonesia. And look, they're on dirt floors. They don't care. God's pouring out though. He's pouring out around the world. And God wants to pour out around your world. Can I get amen? Look at this one right here. This photo was taken from Ron Bonkard. Reinhard Bonker. There you go. Big evangelist. Millions. He would always go out to Africa. Millions would come. Did you know some of them would walk 50 miles barefooted to be where the anointing of God is? This one right here was in South Africa somewhere. Yes. The other one was in Indonesia where Brother Felipe was. And then this one once a year. Oh, wait. This is the underground church in China. And this is in the Siberian area. Because they look like they're Siberian. So it's in the kind of like north. But they're all underground. They're all underground. Because the communists find out that they got a church there. They all get slaughtered. And God's still pouring out here in our country. This is the Harvest Crusades. When's the last time you've been to a Harvest Crusade? 92. Every year, Greg Laurie has one. He has it at the Anaheim. And so God is pouring out. God is pouring out. And so we're going to end this right now. Before we start praying for one another, I'm just going to give those who are watching an invitation to receive Christ. And then we're going to shut this down. We're going to pray for one another. Amen. And so if you're watching this, you never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to pray with me. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that God will do something mighty in your life. So pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.